page 29, 29, mantra 3. Asurya nama te loka andhena tamasavritaha tamste pritya bhigachanti eke chatma hanojana. Asurya meant for the asuras, nama famous by the name, te those, lokaha planets, andhena by ignorance, tamasa by darkness, avritaha covered, tan those planets, te they, pritya after death, abhigachanti enter into, ye anyone, ke everyone, cha and atma hanaha, the killer of the souls, janaha persons. Translation: the killer of soul, whoever he may be, must enter into the planets known as the worlds of the faithless, full of darkness and ignorance. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Human life is distinguished from animal life due to its heavy responsibilities. Those who are cognizant of these responsibilities and who work in that spirit are called suras, godly persons, and those who are neglectful of these responsibilities or who have no information of them are called asuras, demons. Throughout the universe, there are only these two types of human beings. In the Rig Veda, it is stated that the suras always aim at the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord Vishnu and act accordingly. Their ways are as illuminated as the path of the sun. Intelligent human beings must always remember that the soul obtains a human form after an evolution of many millions of years in the cycle of transmigration. The material world is sometimes compared to an ocean, and the human body is compared to a solid boat designed especially to cross this ocean. The Vedic scriptures and the acharyas, or the saintly teachers, are compared to the expert boatsmen, and the facilities of the human body are compared to the favorable breezes that help the ocean, the boat, ply smoothly to its desired destination. If, with all these facilities, a human being does not fully utilize his life for self-realization, he must be considered Atmaha, a killer of the soul. Sri Ishopanishad warns in clear terms that the killer of the soul is destined to enter into the darkest region of ignorance to suffer perpetually. Any comments, questions? Hare Krishna Sachi Mata Mataji. Ayo, Chaitanya Lal Prabhu. So let's proceed then. This comparison of the material world is compared to ocean is there in Srimad Bhagavatam, if it's there in Shloka book. Nridehamadyam Madhyam Sulabham Sudurlabham Plavam Sukalpam Guru Karanadaram Mayanukulena Nabhasvate Ritam Puman Bhavabdim Nataretsa Atmaha. It's there here in the Shloka book. Hridehamadyam Sulabham Sudurlabham Plavam Sukalpam Guru Karanadaram Mayanukulena Nabhasvate Ritam Puman Bhavabdim Nataretsa Atmaha. Because this verse also indicates the killer of the soul. Therefore, Prabhupada mentions this particular verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. Hridehamadyam. Hridehamadyam. Page 279. So, Jonathan Prabhu, if you can kindly read just the translation, that will be great. Hridehamadyam sulabham sukalabham. Page 279 in Shloka book.
The human body, which can award all benefit in mind, is automatically obtained by the laws of nature, although it is a very rare achievement. This human body can be compared to a perfectly constructed boat, having the spiritual master as the captain and the instructions of the personality of Godhead. as favorable winds, impelling it on its course. Considering all these advantages, a human being who does not utilize his human life to cross the ocean of material existence must be considered the killer of his own soul.
Atmaha. This Sri Upanishad also says the same thing, that if we achieve this human form of life, it's like winning a lottery ticket. Suppose if you win like $1 billion in lottery, what's the chance of, what's the highest lottery that's been ever out there? 300, 400 million, 500 million max? And what's the odds of winning that lottery? It's many people's dream. Similarly, we have won this lottery. We have won the lottery of human body. By Krishna's mercy, we have been given this wonderful human body. And this is the chance for us to get out of this nations of birth and death. This is the best chance. Nridehaam adhyam. Because sulabham sudurlabham, very difficult to achieve this human body. In the transmigration of species, the soul undergoes many different kinds of bodies, many different kinds of situations. Sometimes the soul gets a body suitable for water, so you are like a fish. Sometimes the soul gets a body of a stationary being, then you are a tree. Sometimes you are an insect, sometimes you are a bird. There are 8,400,000 species of life. And by the nature of one's own work, you get body according to that particular species. So once we get the human form of life, we get this good chance to get out of the cycle. Nobody has a menu card when you take birth. What species do you want to be born in, sir? No? Based on your work, you are automatically awarded. So this is a wonderful chance to take advantage of the human form of life. Shall we continue? Or do you have questions or comments?
One question I have is, Yogendra said that it's very, very difficult to obtain this human form. But unfortunately, no one knows that, the presentation. And sometimes, why is it that, no one knows about it? Even, why is it that God has created in such a way that, no proof is basically left behind? So, if anyone has to know, he just has to trust the books only. And so that is the problem of today. No one is able to, no one wants to trust these shastras. So if God has created the creation in such a way that people have this knowledge that human life comes is very, very rare, then doesn't it lead to human beings more effectively using their lifetime for self-realization?
Absolutely. And that's the reason we go out on book distribution, to eradicate this ignorance in the society that we are not this body. Because everybody is born in the mode of ignorance, in the dense mode of ignorance, thinking, I am this body, I am this soul, I am not the soul, I am this body, everything related to body is me. And somehow or other, if I can keep my body happy and healthy, that's the goal of life. This happens also because of the influence of time. In the age of Kali Yuga, the ignorance is very prominent. Everybody is on the bodily platform. That's the nature of this particular age of Kali Yuga. And everybody is born into that ignorance. So, yes, you are absolutely right. Prabhupada was asked once, so you are preaching this Krishna consciousness all over the world. What happens if everybody becomes a devotee of God? What happens to this world? And Prabhupada said this world will become a Vaikuntha. There will be no more miseries. So yes. So if that ignorance is removed that we are not this body, human life will be very effective. And part of the book distribution is to eradicate this ignorance. Because people in general are ignorant about their real gain in life. Nate vidu swartha gatim hi Vishnu. Prahlad Maharaj says, Nate vidu swartha, they don't know their actual purpose. What is the ultimate goal of life? Nate vidu swartha gatim hi Vishnu, durashrayaye bahirarthamanina. Not understanding the fact that our ultimate goal of life is Vishnu, we take shelter of the material nature and the material body. But when we once we understand this, then no longer there will be problems. But how do we do this? So practical aspect is the book distribution. Somehow or other, if the people get a book, they read the book, then they awaken to that fact, I am not this body. And there is more to the life than what I am just leading. Going to work, maintaining a bank balance, maintaining my body, maintaining my family. That's it. That is the end of all in life is removed. And then, you know, the actual life or the spiritual life begins, which one tries to understand, who am I? Where am I coming from? Who created me? Why am I put into this such situation? So, does that answer your question? So, yeah, it's true, absolutely true. Your observation is very pertinent. Thank you. Any other comments, questions? Hare Krishna, Mataji. Okay, let's go on. Page 30, chapter 3, last chapter. There are swines. There are swine, dogs, camels, asses, etc., whose economic necessities are just as important to them as ours are to us. But the economic problems of these animals are solved only under nasty and unpleasant conditions. The human being is given all facilities for a comfortable life by the laws of nature, because the human form of life is more important and valuable than animal life. Why is man given a better life than that of swine and other animals? Why is a highly placed government servant given better facilities than those of an ordinary clerk? The answer is that a highly placed officer has to discharge duties of a higher nature. Similarly, the duties human beings have to perform are higher than those of animals, who are always engaged in simply feeding their hungry stomachs. Yet the modern soul-killing civilization has only increased the problems of hungry stomach. When we approach a polished animal in the form of a modern civilized man and ask him to take interest in self-realization, he will say that he simply wants to work to satisfy his stomach and that there is no need of self-realization for a hungry man. The laws of nature are so cruel, however, that despite his denunciation of the need for self-realization and his eagerness to work hard to fill his stomach, he is always threatened by unemployment. One more chapter and then we can stop. We are given this human form of life not to work hard like asses, swine, and dogs, but to attain the highest perfection of life. If you do not care for self-realization, the laws of nature force us to work very hard, even though we may not want to do so. Human beings in this age have been forced to work hard like asses and bullocks that pull carts. Some of the regions where the asuras are sent to work are revealed in this verse of Sri Upanishad. If a man fails to discharge his duties as a human being, he is forced to transmigrate to the Asurya planets and take birth in the degraded species of life to work hard in ignorance and darkness. Questions? Comments? Observations? Ramaswamy, you had something to say. Yes, Mataji.
The slide says, if we do not care for self-realization, the laws of nature force us to work very hard, even though we may not want to do so. So does this mean that if somebody does not take to Krishna consciousness, then he'll face more difficulties in life and, you know, he'll have to, or what does this statement mean?
The Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita, in the third chapter, Prakritir Kriyamanani Gunai Karmani Sarvashaha, that the activities are happening under the modes of nature and everybody is forced to act. So, like it or not, you are put in such a position that you are forced to act, or I am forced to act. Everyone of us in this material nature is forced to act. You have to act to maintain yourself, correct? So, also Bhagavad Gita Krishna says that one who acts in such a way that this is my life and soul. So, I don't know if you have seen some people. I know some people at work. They work 18 hours a day. Practically, they don't sleep. They eat very less. They work day and night. I've seen people do that. Why? It's just in the mode of ignorance. You're working hard just for no benefit. And, you know, after the death, you are put into such a plan because that's your inclination. Krishna says, yam yam yuapi smaran bhavam tyajatyante kalevaram. Whatever you think at the time of death, that you will be, without fail. So if one acts like this, because human being is not supposed to act like animals. And when there is a tendency to work like animals, Krishna says, all right, you want to work like an animal, take the body of an animal and be happy with this. Because that's your nature. And Krishna fulfills it. Krishna is so kind that he fulfills whatever you desire, whatever you think at the time of death. So this verse says that if you just like act like asses and dogs just for the maintenance of the body, then you are killing your spiritual aspect of life, which is the very main purpose of the human form of life. Because you can't ask a bull, come on, chant Hare Krishna, be happy, unless you are Mahaprabhu who did it when he was going through Jharkhand forest. But we are not on that level. We just go to the people, human beings, and ask to chant Hare Krishna. So the meaning of the line is that one cannot work hard like an animal in the human form of life. If one has to by chance, you are forced in a Silicon Valley where you have to work long hours, just pray to Krishna that, you know, I'm in such a situation, please help me out, and Krishna will surely give you some way to overcome it. Because Krishna sees the sincerity of heart. He is, for the person who is sincere, Krishna never abandons. If your purpose of heart, if your sincerity is genuine, then Krishna will help out. And you are put in a situation, sometimes you have to work. Sometimes, because there are also other implications. Someone might say, should I go and rebel against the boss? I should go and say to my boss, you are nonsense, you are working 20 hours a day, you are making me work 20 hours a day. You rebel, you are fired. So, but you have to act according to time, place, circumstances also. Does that answer your question? Sure? Or you still have that lingering doubt, no?
No, not really. Because what I thought was, the laws of nature force us to work very hard. In this, as in, when your soul transmigrates in the next
as long as we have the body, we are forced to work. We are forced to toil. For example, a man, just take a simple case. A man has a family. For example, he gets married. Then they have to think of a house. So building a house or buying a house is not easy matter. Whether you are here or in India or any place in the world, there's a lot of work, right? So you are forced to work hard to maintain the house. So in this life and also in the next life, whenever we have a conditioned body, jab tak body hai, we have to work. And you are forced to work, like it or not, period. That's the statement. But when we take up to Krishna consciousness slowly, in a gradual way, then slowly we overcome or we transcend the body and the bodily needs. And that's the only way out. Some people, they say, forget it. Spiritual life, we have material solutions to our problems. We have solutions. But those are all on the material platform. And when you try to solve material problems for material on the material platform, the solution itself will become the problem. Makes sense? Does that somewhat answer your question? So you are forced to work if you have taken a bodily platform of life. And it's not just human beings. The birds, they get up in the morning. Really, they don't have a PhD. They don't have a GPS navigation system to say where my food comes. They have to just go about. And the bats, they don't have night vision goggles, trust me. They still have to go find their food. So everybody is forced to work hard. That's the way the material world is. So, yes?
You talked about spiritual solutions to material problems, but like the way we are accustomed to is like material answers. So that's the way we are accustomed to thinking. But then really it's the spiritual solution. Spiritual solution is the answer.
That's correct. That's a very nice observation. Thank you. Material solutions will solve the problem for that particular time, but the problems definitely won't go away. It's just a battle which one is bound to lose when you try to wage, saying that with my power, either individually, collectively, or through a nation, something I can pull in and try to face. That's going to be a failure because nobody can control the material nature. God designed it in such a way. We can have the best equipment, but still, we can say the earthquake may happen, but nobody can prevent the earthquake from happening right now, can we, in spite of all the technological advancements. The same is the case of any other problem. I mean, vaccines, you name technology, transportation, and you see that there are side effects. The solutions which the man created to solve the problems are producing side effects right now. The greenhouse is a major problem right now. Everybody is trying to battle it. That was done because we needed a faster mode of transport. We exploited automobiles. We spewed out so many gases into the air. So right now another problem is coming. That we try to solve the ozone layer or the greenhouse, whatever problem it is, another problem will crop up. So the idea is that without taking to spiritual life, there may be some solution. Not always, but sometimes. But that's not long-lasting. Another problem will flare up. That will keep us busy. So this goes on, and then the death comes, and then you take another body. So you just transmigrate, trying to solve problems after birth, without no real tangible benefit. That doesn't mean you just say, okay, let's give up everything. No, we have to make sure that we keep the spiritual perspective always on the focus. And just continue with our material existence. Make sense? Okay. Let's go on with... Yes, Mataji, please. Hare well. Hare Krishna.
Like what Rashi was telling about that statement, working hard. So when we come into devotional life, when we become a devotee, even though we work hard, our consciousness is like I'm doing it for Krishna, I'm working hard and earning and serving to Krishna, I'm giving service to Krishna. And this becomes our consciousness. So even if we work hard, we are in a different life altogether. So that one point. And what he was telling me a little bit, what I understood was, material problems are always there, material pains and everything, because we are in the material world. But if we become a devotee, then problems comes, but it looks like, I'll give an example and it will be more clear. Like if we are on ground level, then everything is very clear. The building is big, we can see the plants clearly and other human beings clearly and everything. But as we move high, like if we are flying on an aeroplane, then all the buildings and everything becomes smaller and smaller and smaller, and like a matchstick. Even a city, we can't imagine the city. So it becomes smaller and smaller. Similarly, when we develop, when we advance in spiritual life, all these material problems comes. But for us, for a devotee, it seems very little, very small. So we are then easy to face that. Krishna gives.
Thank you. Very nice points. Any other comments, questions before we go? All right. Page 31, the last paragraph for those who just started. In the Bhagavad Gita, 6:41 through 43, it is stated that a man who enters upon the path of self-realization but does not complete the process, despite having sincerely tried to realize his relationship with God is given a chance to appear in the family of Shuchi or Srimat. The word Shuchi indicates a spiritually advanced Brahmana, and Srimat indicates a Vaishya, a member who is of mercantile community. So the person who fails to achieve self-realization is given a better chance in his next life due to his sincere efforts in this life. If even a fallen candidate is given a chance to take birth in a respectable and noble family, one can hardly imagine the status of one who has achieved success. By simply attempting to realize God, one is guaranteed birth in a wealthy or an aristocratic family. But those who do not even make an attempt, who want to be covered by illusion, who are too materialistic and too attached to material enjoyment, must enter into the darkest regions of hell, as confirmed throughout the Vedic literatures. Such materialistic asuras sometimes make a show of religion, but their ultimate aim is material prosperity. The Bhagavad Gita, 16th chapter, 17th through 18th verses, rebukes such men by calling them Atma Sambhavita, meaning that they are considered great only on the strength of deception and are empowered by the votes of the ignorant and by their own material wealth. Such asuras, devoid of self-realization and knowledge of Isa Vashya, the Lord's universal proprietorship, are certain to enter into the darkest regions. The conclusion is that as human beings, we are meant not simply for solving economic problems on a tottering platform, but for solving all the problems of material life into which we have been placed by the laws of nature. Questions? Yes.
Realize God, you will. Your next birth would be in wealthy aristocratic family, which is again a material benefit which you are trying to achieve by just trying to realize God. Isn't it contradicting most of the thing that you're trying to realize God? Next birth, you will be in the wealthy and aristocratic family. It's kind of confusing here.
So it is said either you can be born into a wealthy family or in the family of Brahmanas. There are two places. And Prabhupada says that if Krishna is truly merciful, he will place you in the family of Brahmanas, because right from the birth you can take up to devotional service. The point Prabhupada was making mention here is that by taking up to spiritual life, we are not the losers by any stretch of imagination, either materially or spiritually. Prabhupada himself was born in a Vaishya community, in a very, very wealthy family, but he became a supremely great devotee. He is Paramguru, the Acharya of his kind. So, even though there are material opulences, because one is sincere in spiritual life, Krishna will make sure that you won't forget him, in spite of having all the other facilities. But if your tendency at that point is to enjoy materially, still you have the facilities. So Krishna takes care of either ways. That's the point. If you're... Yeah, go ahead.
In a related discussion in one of the lectures, I don't know from whom I was listening to, it was mentioned that, this is a lecture about law of karma. It was mentioned that if you do good karma, why you should not do good karma? So the argument was that if you do good karma in this life, perhaps next life would be better. You may get birth in wealthy family, and you would have money, and that would take you far from. That will again put you more into material world. That was the argument was given in that lecture, that why you should not do even good karmas, because you may end up getting into a position or a status where you are materially higher in this world, which will kind of take you away.
So I have a question to answer your question. Should we do bad karma so that we will be placed in bad position, we can remember Krishna?
Not really. I mean, the sentence was out of context.
Correct. I understand.
He's trying to say don't do any karma. I mean, do only spiritual karma, no good karma, no
bad. That is the point. That is the point. Karma, even if it is good or bad, you have to take the body to enjoy. And then once the karma is lost, or when you spend your karma, then you come back to the material world. So if, because of good karma, you may be elevated to heavenly planets. But then when your credit runs out, when the bank balance runs out, then you come back again to this material world. So good karma or bad karma have its implications, which are not beneficial either ways. So the best thing is to serve Krishna. I'll come to you, Mataji. The best thing is to serve Krishna. You don't have to worry about karma. Mataji, she had a question, then I'll come to you. Is that okay?
I just have something to say. Actually, when Prabhupada says that the spiritualist will be placed to a wealthy family, it means that he will not be forced to work hard to maintain his bodily necessities. So he will spend all his time trying to realize God. It's different from good karma.
Do you happen to remember where Prabhupada said it?
Huh?
Do you happen to remember which book or?
It's in commentary.
Oh, it's in
Bhagavad Gita.
Oh, it's in Bhagavad Gita. Achcha, achcha. Ah, achcha, achcha.
Good karma means that the person is attached to material enjoyment, and he is trying to produce good karma to enjoy more. But here we're discussing a spiritualism. Person who is actually serious about his spiritual life. So next life he will be serious about his spiritual life too. But he will have material opulence to not work
on. Right. Thank you. So but at the same time the devotee doesn't care. It is said in Bhagavatam Narayana para sarve nakutaschana vibhyati. Svarga aparga narakeshu tulyartha samadarshina. That a devotee of Narayan, who is completely a pure devotee, he doesn't care if he is in heaven, hell, or he is liberated. He sees everything as same. Because wherever a devotee of the Lord is hearing and chanting, everything else is not that important. So, good karma and bad karma for Krishna is... But for Krishna, you can do any bad karma or any good karma, so-called good or bad. When it's in relationship with Krishna, nothing is good or nothing is bad. Everything is spiritual. Yes, Mataji? Okay, thank you. Thank you. So, yes?
There has been a burning question out of context.
Sure.
If I may ask.
Please.
One thing which has been in my mind is that the good karma and bad karma, right? The whole, what I am getting is that say there is a hungry man, right? And you can offer food to him or her. Even if you don't offer it to him, it's okay because you are spiritually, you are a spiritual person, you are into Krishna consciousness. You still don't have any problem even if you don't offer anything to the beggar. Is it correct? Is my understanding correct that it's okay because you are spiritual, you're not getting any good karma, not getting any bad karma. Be spiritual, be oblivious to the problems what people might be facing. Is it correct to think that way?
Thakur Bhaktivinoda says, Jive Daya Krishna Nam Sarvadharma Sar. So to show compassion upon other beings and chanting the names of Krishna is the essence of all the religious scriptures. In that situation, you should give the beggar some prasadam, if you can. Because food depends, again, it's relative. If you are offering that particular person some unwanted foodstuffs, you are incurring him into karma and yourself into karma. So when the compassion goes, when you think of others, you think in terms of their spiritual life. That's a real compassion. So yes, you should give that person something, and it should be ideally prasadam. Saying that that's the natural compassion of a devotee of the Lord. Vaishnava is paradukha dukhi. When he sees others suffer, he also suffers. And the whole of Bhagavatam is based on this thing. That the sages are asking questions. Why are they asking questions? These living entities are suffering in this material. What can be done to alleviate their sufferings? This whole Bhagavatam is that particular scripture. Starting from the 6 questions of Naimisharanya. So, no, you should never think like that. But you should always think of the spiritual aspect, not on the material level. Does that kind of answer a question? No, you still have some doubts.
I don't know. Maybe I can think more on what you said.
Right. To see everybody in the spiritual aspect as a part and parcel of God and address that spiritual aspect is much more of a greatest of the charity works than just addressing the bodily concern. That's the purport I was trying to get at. And if you are sincere, Krishna will give you the intelligence at that point how to deal with this particular person in a compassionate way. Yet not. For example, just think of this situation. If a person is addicted to alcohol and he asks you for money, you know he is an alcoholic. Would you give him money or not?
No.
Why? You are not being compassionate.
Because I know the need is not for basic survival. The need is beyond what is needed for basic survival.
Exactly. So similarly, in the spiritual context also, we just say what is needed for the spiritual life of that person, we address in that sense. Mainly. To an extent,
my question is, what if I don't give? Do I lose anything? No. Right?
No.
So, it's okay to not give.
Yeah. It you should give. Yes. The only point I wanted to make is that based on time, place, circumstances, you know what to give or what not to give. And Mataji, can you hold that thought just for a minute? Ramaswamy Prabhu has...
Yeah, this is just a follow-up question to Prabhuji's question. When we are giving something to someone else, don't we first have to see his qualification? For example, if someone is hungry, and these days, most of the time, when someone is hungry, unless he is at our house or at the temple, we cannot really give him food, which all we can give is money. And when we give some money to some person, thinking that he is hungry, we don't know how he is going to spend the money, especially if it's an unknown person. So, these thoughts coming to my mind, if we give the money, how is he going to spend it? That's why I feel like it's better not to give. Or even if he wants to use it for food, what kind of food he is going to eat? He's probably going to some McDonald's, buy some meat there and eat it.
Right.
And that kind of implicates us in that scene. Because we are actually, involved, right? So I kind of feel like it's better not to give the money unless you are giving the prasadam directly.
I agree. Does that help answer your question a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, it answers theoretically, but there's a little difficult to think practically, that you say. But it makes sense.
Yes, Mataji, you had a thought.
I'm not sure if I'm thinking it the right way, but I agree that if possible we should not give money and try to get this out. But as Prabhuji said, that maybe it's not practical all the time, and that's what I feel too. So in that case, I'm not sure if I'll be doing it right, but I think I would give the money because as we keep reading that we see Krishna in everybody. There's Krishna in everybody, even if it's a beggar, even if he's doing something wrong. But we know that he's suffering, and if it's coming to us, and even the food that we give, he might just throw away, or he might not want it, right? That's prasadam of Krishna, he might just throw away. So I would looking at the whole picture from a spiritual point of view, I would see that person is connected to me somewhere, spiritually. We are all part and parcel of, one entity, and so
if we see Krishna in that person too, then maybe we would want to help them out. Even though we are building good karmas, and still we might want to do that.
Take books, Mataji. Take spiritual books with you. When somebody asks you money, give them books.
Yeah.
That's the best way. Take few in the pocket, wherever you can. More than money, this is more valuable. I'm giving you $1 million. Take it. So, yeah, fine points.